The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. If you're listening on the podcast, I know it just doesn't sound the same. There's no background music, and we just can't have it. But man, oh man, when I omitted the good morning a couple weeks ago, I got lambasted. I was told don't ever do that again, so I will not. So good to have you along. Welcome back to part two of our Saturday morning live and local lineup, where we kick it off from 6 to 9 with occasionally George, today ably and forcefully maintained by Jimmy Sangenberger. And then we take you from 9 all the way up till noon. Take a whole lot of your calls at 303-696-1971, 696-1971. We've been experiencing a lot of full lines, so get in early and put that number on speed dial. I've told you before, I want a Corvette. Thanks to speed dial. And it happened so fast. I got in and the Beat McKay, the DJ, said, "Oh, you're caller number 4. We're looking for number 10. And I hit speed dial again and got in as number 10. So for days and days, I'd been calling with speed dial and never got anything but a busy signal. So it will help. And I've got an awful lot on my mind today, so I hope you'll bear with me. But I will try to get at least 3 calls in each segment so we can open up the lines for the next round of callers. We do have some guests today. Very, very important. Man, there's a lot on my heart. I want to talk to you about God. There are people and places in the media where people of faith are literally being mocked. And so I want to share some of my own personal perspective and feelings on that. Of course, we're hearing all the news, all the different perspectives and positions on Tina Peters, the Mesa County clerk and recorder. Is she a criminal? Is she derelict in her duty? Is she a whistleblower who's worthy of protection? And that story is just unfolding. And I've been involved in a very small way and as a legal advisor, not to Tina Peters, anything like that, but with regard to things that are going on up there. So there are things that probably I'd love to talk about, but I won't. So instead, we're going to bring in somebody who has been living the activity up there in Mesa County. Actually was on the jet, I believe, that Mike Lindell used to take Tina Peters out to his cyber symposium. And someone who's been a not regular and probably not regular enough guest on this show. We are hoping he's traveling, but we think we're going to connect here in about a half an hour with Colonel Sean Smith, U.S. Air Force, who was responsible for testing and testing oversight for some of the nation's most complex computer-based national security systems, and served our country honorably for over 25 years. He's the leader of the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, and while I was in Nashville 2 weeks ago now, doing the Republican National Committee summer training, they were on stage with Mike Lindell in the Cyber Symposium. Sean Smith was up there with Tina Peters, with America's mom, Sharona Bishop, and really looking forward to his insights and his perspective on what's happening, what went down at the symposium. It's not as simple as you or some others might think, and very, very important to tell the tale, both sides to this story. 303-696-1971, one line is open. 10 o'clock, we're going to go back to our what's become a weekly conversation about the effort to opt out of the Republican, for the Republican Party to opt out of the open primary. And that's misrepresented so much as well. You hear people talking about trying to get out of a primary, disenfranchise all these other voters. And no, we're trying to get out of this process of an open primary with very good reasons. And it was absolutely hilarious. I walked in here at about 8:45, 22 minutes ago now, 15 minutes before the start of the show. And I just was talking to Jim, the producer, behind the glass. And I got a text from myself, and I wasn't expecting it. I guess I knew these were going out. But my phone, you know, gives the signal, and I pop open the text, and there's my smiling face in a picture. And here's what the text says. Hi, Randy. This is your RNC National Committee man, Randy Corcoran. I just get a kick out of that. This is mechanical stuff. Have you heard the news? On September 18th in Pueblo, the CRC, which is the Colorado Republican Committee State Central Committee, will meet in order to vote to opt out of the rigged open primary system. However, to win, we need your vote in person or by proxy. Will you be on the right side of history? I sent you a letter in the mail that contains more information and the required proxy form if you aren't able to attend. So please be on the lookout for that letter. For more important information, please visit electionintegrityfight.com, electionintegrityfight.com. There's a link there to the letter that will be going out to all the Central Committee members. And then, of course, the obligatory reply stop to opt out of future GOP messages. Don't do that. Stop that. Don't even think about it. Anyway, it was kind of a kick to walk in here and then get my own text as just a, hey, Randy, how you doing? And so we'll talk with the former Boulder County GOP chairwoman, Peg Cage, another of the many rock solid constitutional conservative, God-loving, God-fearing, country-loving, Constitution-protecting, and I'm going to use the word, patriots in the state of Colorado. And she'll give us her view on this effort that will culminate on September 18th. And there, man, there's a lot going on. There's our legal challenges being considered, as well as just simply trying to wake people up to the damage and destruction of the open primary. We'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour. And it's interesting because while I was at the RNC 2 weeks ago, that became a hot topic. This same woman that we'll talk about in 10 o'clock, who has manipulated the outcomes of so many Republican primary elections, is now using her millions of dollars in Alaska to accomplish the same thing, apparently. And Alaska just followed the similar blueprinted path from Colorado, and with the help of establishment Republicans, oh, we'll draw more people into the party, this will really, really help, have set up their own open primary system in Alaska. And the people who know what that means are terrified. So again, this is just part of the Democrat strategy. And then 11 o'clock, of course, this embarrassing, outrageous, disgusting handling of the withdrawal of our troops and others from Afghanistan is weighing heavy on everybody's heart. And thankfully, weighing heavy on the polling numbers of creepy, sleepy, zombie Joe Biden. Everything that we put, people who supported Trump, the president, former president himself, everything that the left falsely accused Donald Trump of doing, Biden is doing right now, with virtually no pushback or, I guess I should maybe change that. Even on MSLSD and CNN, you can go, and I don't watch them, I just can't, but you can certainly find clips and read stories about how they're starting to publicly question the dereliction of duty at the very, very top, the commander-in-chief, zombie Joe Biden. But everything the left accused him of, he's doing. He's alienating our allies. I haven't verified this. I heard Jimmy this morning say that that the British Parliament has found Joe Biden in contempt. And I trust Jimmy. He gets his sources right. We disagree on things. We disagree on conclusions. We sometimes disagree on what the full set of facts are in drawing certain conclusions. But that's great. That's healthy. That's wonderful. He does his homework. So, my God, the British Parliament sanctioning the President of the United States for his handling, putting Americans at risk, at risk, undermining the norms, international norms. Biden is doing it all. And all Donald J. Trump did is stand up in their faces. It's incredible. I mean, think about it. The Russia hoax, false. The Ukraine hoax, false. January 6th hoax. Even The Hill is reporting now that the FBI has found virtually, not none, but virtually no evidence that there was some concerted effort. This is being reported in The Hill. That's not Breitbart. It's not right-wing news or anything like that. The January 6th, not that the idiots didn't go in there and do terrible damage to our psyche, to our to the conservative movement for sure, because of course we get pinned with the blame for all of those things. But the story that was weaved immediately thereafter that this is, you know, Trump supporters and right-wingers and trying to take over the government, it's an insurrection. Even The Hill is reporting that the FBI knows that it's a hoax. The whole idea about Wuhan virus originating from bats, debunked. The attack on Congressman Matt Gaetz, the sex tape, or it wasn't sex tapes, really, it was sex trafficking hoax. Debunked. It's just unbelievable as time goes on how all of these narratives that so many people just pick up and run with are going away. They're absolutely going away. I mean, Robin Williams, the comedian, may God rest his soul, had Joe Biden's number long, long ago.
We still have comedy, though. We still have great comedy out there. There's always rambling Joe Biden. What the f***? Joe says shit, even people with Tourette's go, no. No. What is going on? Joe is like your uncle who's on a new drug and hasn't got the dosage right. I'm proud to work with Barack America. He's not a superhero, you idiot. Come here.
That was when Robin was still alive, obviously. Man, oh man, did he have Joe Biden's number even all the way back then. And of course, America had Joe Biden's number. He'd had to drop out of a couple, and in fact, really, I think three total prior presidential campaigns because of plagiarism, because he was called on his bragging lies. Graduated top of my class, did this, did that. And I played some clips, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago where he ran through those statements, and then I played the left-wing media news reports saying that was not true, that was not true, that is not true. God, what a disaster. For and for you Republicans who, you know, Trump's mean tweets, Trump's rough personality, he's too gruff, he's disrespecting our allies. Our allies respected us and could rely on us under the leadership of Donald J. Trump. Very interesting to see what he has to say at his big rally in Alabama tonight. I think it kicks off around 6 o'clock Denver time. Newsmax is covering it. And too bad that we won't be back on the air to share some of those moments with you. But Tom Tancredo posted this up on his Facebook page. And I just, actually somebody sent it to me. And then I went looking around a little bit. And the source for the person, and thank you, Susie, who sent it to me was Tom Tancredo. And it's a great video, and it's about 3 minutes long. And so we cut it up into three parts. And what I'm going to do, I think, is play. It's so good, but I don't want to, you know, play the whole thing all 3 minutes each time. We just don't have enough time here. So I'm going to play segment one here in a second. Then in the second hour, I'm going to play segment one followed by segment two. And then in the third hour, we're going to do segment one, two, and three in total, just so you can get the full power of this incredible reminder.
What if Trump said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black? What if Trump's claim to fame was creating a policy that jailed more minorities for petty crimes than ever before? What if Trump never left his basement? What if Trump averaged 104 EOs per year? What if those first 42 EOs were in his first 4 months as president? What if Trump's public schedule showed he only worked 4 hours a day? What if Trump sniffed young children? What if Trump's sons had sex tapes? What if there were video of Trump's sons doing crack? What if his sons were never arrested for it? What if his sons illegally applied for gun permits? What if Trump's family had financial ties to foreign countries that wanted to hurt our country? What if Trump's campaigns were funded heavily by big tech, big pharma, and the CCP? What if Trump's children openly laundered money by becoming artists and selling art for more than Van Gogh or Picasso, and then told you they couldn't divulge who their buyers were? What if Trump fell down the stairs of Air Force One 3 times in one climb? What if Trump opened the borders to give free healthcare, food, housing, and education to any and everyone that wanted to come, but didn't require them to pay taxes?
Every single one of those what ifs, and remember, that's only part one of 3 of these clips that James put together for us. So many Jims around here. Every single one of those particular issues would have been front page news in the Denver Post, in the New York Slimes, in the Washington Compost, on the magazines, Time, CNN, MSNBC, would have been relentless, just like they were with the Russia hoax and the Ukraine hoax, and for a while with the January 6th hoax, with the bat origin theory, all of those things that over time, under scrutiny, don't step back, don't give up, become exposed. The lies become exposed. And I believe the same thing is going to happen with our election integrity. It's going to be interesting over time to see whether Tina Peters up in Mesa County is determined to be inept or a criminal or a whistleblower with guts. But it is fascinating to watch and very, very important to continue to talk about. Haven't gotten into the most important topic weighing on my heart today, and that is the slanderous nature, the mocking that's going on against people of faith. So I don't want to run up against a break when I get that started. I know we've got callers standing by. Everybody just be patient. And right now, before we get into our first break, let's do what we always do or try to always remember to do. And remember, if you're new to the show or you haven't listened over the last couple of weeks, because of the rules and the licensing issues regarding music, I can no longer play the entire Whitney Houston, our favorite here, national anthem. And I'm working on getting a recording from a wonderful, wonderful singer. And when we get that, we'll own it and we'll play the whole thing. But right now, as we pay tribute and respect and show our love and appreciation for our country, I hope you will remove your hat if you have one. Place your hand over your heart and join me in I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Wait for it. I know. We don't like doing it that way either. We've had some callers call in and say, man, that's just tough. I am working very hard to get our very own We Will Own It version of the entire national anthem and get back to doing it in the way that really makes sense. And I apologize for doing what we have to do, but we have to stay in compliance here, of course. So and other callers were calling in and asking if we're having Sean Smith. Yes, Colonel Sean Smith, scheduled to join us at about 9:40. And he was actually at the symposium. He actually traveled with America's Mom and Tina Peters. So we'll get some interesting perspective on that whole scenario. Is the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder a criminal, derelict in her duty, or a whistleblower? Of course, you know I'm leaning toward the latter, but truth will come out, and we shall find out. Full lines, everybody be patient, because let me at least start this conversation on God, because I am so sick of reading or hearing people of faith being mocked. True believers, and you build up a truth, and then you have to create your own set of facts in order to support the truth that exists in your mind. And it's one thing to be a disbeliever. That's, your right, your brain, your entitlement here in the United States of America, not so much in Afghanistan or Iran or Pakistan or, but I digress. But it's wrong to mock people of faith. And so let me just share some of my own personal perspectives on God and his impact in my own life. Because here are some of the things that I know. As a 15-year-old kid, I overdosed on drugs and survived. Accidental, but almost died, you know, in the coma, in the ambulance, woke up in a hospital. Very, very confusing for a little while. And an interesting story I could tell about that as well, where my dad really stepped up for me. I've been in three near plane crashes, two really. I mean, one, the engine just stopped for a brief moment as I was flying a small plane over Oklahoma City. And the thing that was scary about it was, you know, I had never been to Oklahoma. I was just passing through. So, and I was over the main city. So, and back in those days, you know, it was primarily maps and as far as no electronic GPS that I could just punch in, where's my nearest airfield for a powerless landing or whatever. So, but I knew where the airfield was. I knew where there was a private airfield as well. So it wasn't terrifying. But I've been the pilot of two planes that came very close to going down. And one because the throttle cable broke just midair, just taking off from Boulder Airport, heading toward Longmont. Went to, you know, full throttle climb out, went to pull back on the throttle. And all of a sudden, the engine just drops down to an idle. So I have an engine just bloom, 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 bloom. It's kind of, you could almost see the propeller at the speed it was going around. And no power. And so had to make some tough decisions there and managed to get to the Longmont Airport, the east-west runway. And it was so close that my right tire bumped over the street sign, the two street sign there, two-way street sign or whatever. And then the serious one that was entirely my fault, up with a group of guys who wanted some excitement, so we decided to do some exciting things in the air. Supposed to be just a stall, which is, you know, it's like a little roller coaster moment. It's something that any pilot should do. I like to do because it tests your reflexes, reminds you what it takes if you ever accidentally get into one to fly out of it. But based on the plane that we had, based on the heat of the day, based on the weight of the big guys I had in the back and all of it, turned into a nosedive full throttle spin. I have been in a car that flew 180 feet through the air and landed on the street below off of a highway overpass. I've been rear-ended on my Harley. And several of those occasions are opportunities where I could have and should have died. And I didn't. Now, I don't know that that's because there's a plan in my life for my life that I haven't fulfilled yet, or there is some other purpose for me to be here. But I do feel a protection around me, not like I'm invincible or I, you know, I couldn't die tomorrow, get hit by a bus or any of those things. But I feel a confidence as I go through my life that there is a purpose for it, and that whenever my time is up, it won't be until I have accomplished that purpose. Now, that's just a belief. What I know is that I survived all of those things. What I know is that our limited understanding of the universe, as incredible as it is, and how much it's developed over the last, especially the last couple hundred years, but even just over the last few years with our massive telescopes and all of the different things that we, probes that we've launched and everything else, is that we understand this universe to be this huge, massive universe to be continuing to expand. And scientists have put together what that universe looked like if you were to reverse the expansion. And this is where the Big Bang Theory originates. If you reverse the expansion of the universe as it's understood, as it's recorded with the instrumentation that we have, and reverse it all the way back to the beginning of time, you have one point in time where there wasn't a universe, or there was this microcosmic dot that through the manifestation of the Big Bang is this continuing evolution of orbiting rocks and gas and water and oxygen and all of the essential elements for life, and on and on and on. So that's what our science tells us. So we know that. We don't know if it's accurate, could change, theories evolve, on and on and on. But regardless of the Big Bang Theory, billions of years versus 6,000, I don't believe 6,000 years that the Earth has been here. That to me is just nonsensical. But something had to put that energy into motion. There's a lot of chaos in the universe. There's a lot of chaos right here on planet Earth. But there's also tremendous order and organization and things that occur that just seem virtually impossible to occur by coincidence and coincidence alone. But the bottom line, if you think it through, whether the universe was created in 7 days or seven heavenly days by some heavenly being, or there's some other scientific explanation for it that we can't possibly understand at our stage of understanding the universe, something, some force had to create creation, right? Well, it's always been here. Well, that is that possible? Something just has always existed? Well, what existed before that? What created what now has always existed? And then the bigger question that'll really cause you to drink is, who created the creator? We can't possibly know those things. It's impossible to understand. But we can understand that there are forces and energies and feelings and actions and happenings that occur that we can't comprehend with our limited five senses, that we can't understand with the incredible technology that we have, and something's going on. So when I pray, oh, let me say one more thing before I talk about prayer, and apologies to the full lines. When I think about the Bible and I hear people say it's inerrant, that's a silly thing to say, because there's a lot of different versions of the Bible. There are a lot of books that were picked for the Bible and a lot of books that were omitted from the Bible. And there's a lot of conflicts in the Bible itself. My grandfather, who was the town pastor, the town lawyer, the town newspaper editor, George Corcoran, who had 8 children, 9 actually, one who died very shortly after her birth, of a flu, as I recall, baptized many of his children, married many of his children, performed thousands of baptisms, and I'm sure hundreds, if not 1,000 weddings, I don't know. And he died when I was, 7 years old. So I knew him. I loved him. I got to interact with him. I have wonderful sort of black and white memories that probably that come from the old black and white home movies. But I can remember events in my life where he was in his chair and his kindness and his smile. My dad definitely had his smile. And he wrote a book. And I've got a copy of it. It's in my dad's stuff someplace. And I think I have a paper printed copy of the text. And I wish I had time to look for it when this occurred to me, that because I've never read it. I've never dug into it. But this man of God, man of law, man of the media who wrote the town newspaper, 8 kids, baptisms, weddings, wrote the book that said, that described at least 100, I think it was, 100 contradictions within the Bible. So I understand all of that. But when I pray, when I was with Jack Phillips after his sort of Pyrrhic victory in the U.S. Supreme Court, and we were all together at Colorado Christian University, and hundreds of people were there, but I was right by Jack and got to lay hands on Jack as he was being prayed for. And the energy was just shooting out of my body. I mean, I could feel it was like electrical power just shooting up and out of my body in that moment. I don't know what that is. I know I don't hallucinate. I know I'm a very practical person. I know when I'm high, and haven't been in 40 years, so, back off. That's real. When I am on my knees and praying, when I'm involved in the Republican National Committee weekly prayer calls or the prayer gathering that we had during the RNC last week, I can feel the power of something. I don't know what it is, but I can feel it. So that's what I know. And what I believe is that there's a great deal of critical, eternal truth that can be found in the Bible, in the study of those words. And I do believe that there is a supreme being or a force of some kind that is in control or put this whole thing in motion and maybe even knows exactly how it turns out. But I'm just a lone, sinning, failed human being. And I can't possibly know what there is to truly know about it. But I would never, never in my deepest heart. And I may not have been this way as a kid. We were all idiots as kids. But I would never mock someone of faith. And when that happens, I think you should reject it. Truly. All right, people were wondering again if Sean Smith will be joining us. He's scheduled to join us here on the other side of this break, so let's get to it right now. Lines are full, so hold tight on trying to call. We are going to get to everybody's calls today as well. Randy Corcoran here, 710 KNUS. We're back at 942. I'm Randy Corcoran. Good to have you here. 303-696-1971. Write it down. Put it on speed dial. When we get a line to open up, we'll want to hear from you as well. And I'm going to get this done for 3 weeks, I think, at least. My God, back to July 9th. I had promised to give a shout out to Kathy O'Connor on her birthday. It's back at July 9th. And, you know, I sit down here and things get rolling and you guys start calling and I blew it off. And then I promised, I think, 2 weeks ago that I would make it up, talking to her daughter, that I would make it up. And so, Kathy O'Connor, happy belated birthday, and thank you so very much for being a loyal and regular listener to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. I cannot tell each and every one of you just how much it means, the follow-up, the inquiries about my wife, the concerns about the inability to get all the help we need at the law firm right now as we are buried with so much. In fact, I'm going to be advertising right here on 710 KNUS for lawyers and paralegals. That's how badly we need them. And but Kathy, sorry to have missed your birthday. I hope you'll forgive me. Thanks again for listening. And now let's get back to business because people have been calling in. Did you say you're going to have Sean Smith on? Sean's coming? Yes. Colonel Sean Smith served in the U.S. Air Force for over 25 years. As I mentioned, during that period, he was responsible for testing and testing oversight for some of the nation's most complex computer-based national security systems. He's the leader of the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, and you can find that at useip.org, useip.org. He was with Tina Peters at the seminar, the Mike Lindell Cyber Symposium, and he joins us now. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I am terrific. So glad you were able to find a connection. I know you're traveling. Thanks for taking a few minutes out for us.
Yeah, we appreciate you giving air to our concerns yet again. It's a privilege to be here.
Yeah, it's be sure you talk up because it is loud. We've got a lot of background noise. Are you on a headset or anything or directly on your phone?
Yeah, I am. There's a little noise around me. Is that better?
That is better. Maybe you can just,
okay.
I know we've only got a few minutes with you, so we'll try and make it as clear as we can. I introduced you. People who regularly listen to the show know sort of your background. I think with the limited time we have, let's just talk about what is. The question I asked at the top of the show regarding Tina Peters is whether she was negligent in her duties. Is she a criminal or is she a hero whistleblower? And obviously in the court of public opinion, the jury is still out on that. But you were with her and America's mom, Sharona Bishop, when you went to the Cyber Symposium a week or so ago. Tell us about that.
Well, what I would say about Tina Peters is, you know, USCIP, I guess I'm a leader, but really, Ashep and Holly Kaysen started USCIP, and now it's, I think we're up over 600 people in multiple states. So it's a lot of citizens doing a lot of work. But we spoke to a lot of county clerks, and not very many county clerks were interested in anything citizens had to say. And what we got was a lot of pats on the head about election integrity, followed by, you know, condescending explanations that they didn't even understand about why everything was secure. Tina Peters took a different tack, and I think the truth is going to come out there. You know, she tried to talk to the district attorney, the very same one that's investigating her, about her concerns, and the response was, you know, the same response we got with other county clerks. So she had above all else, you know, responsibility to her sworn duty, and the assertions that the Secretary of State has made are not obvious to everyone because they don't necessarily know the details. But certainly the Secretary of State knows that she's lying. She's lying about Tina Peters. The passwords that she's asserting that clerk compromised are never in the possession of that clerk. Those BIOS passwords are the sole ownership of the Secretary of State and her staff. So if they got compromised, that's where the investigation should be looking, not at the county clerk. And yet what she's done is try to eviscerate, you know, the authority of the county commissioners and try to insert her own appointee in as the election supervisor. And she has no authority to do that whatsoever. So I think part of why Tina flew out to the symposium was that so she could get connected to all those other resources out there, which Lindell did a kind of an amazing job of bringing all the state people in and all the attorneys and all those legislators. So It was a crazy week, you know, with all the attempts to infiltrate and subvert what was going on there. You guys probably saw some of the cyber attacks that took place on their outbound streams, and you'll hear more about the people who infiltrated and tried to infiltrate at the symposium. So,
but wait,
my perspective, yeah, go ahead.
Well, but wait a minute, Colonel Sean Smith. Everywhere I look, everywhere I listen in the media, I'm told that. That the Lindell Symposium was a nothing burger, that there was a motion to dismiss that the court denied. So that means Lindell didn't have any proof of anything. We're all led to believe that it's over finally and it's time to move on. What you were there. You have some level of expertise in these complex computer-based national security systems, which I would imagine translates pretty well to these election machines. So what's your take on what was exposed and what's yet to come from Mike Lindell and other sources like yourself?
Well, I would say that the same people who said, you know, it's over, move on the 4th of November, were the same people saying before the election, you know, it's not over until we say it's over. And the truth is, it's not over until people say it's over. And we haven't gotten to the truth. We're not going to stop until we get to the truth. The Secretary of State knows this. That's why she's trying to ban audits. That's why at every turn she's trying to seize evidence. So my perspective is that we saw some evidence there. We didn't get to see all the data that Lindell wanted to bring. And he hasn't explained all of the details of that in public yet. But there were concerted efforts to prevent that from happening. And I can't say, you know, I can't say what was in that data because the red team did not get to see more than just a tiny little sliver of it. There were technical issues. There were some medical issues. But the truth is that what happened with the image from Mesa County that so many technical people were looking at is we finally got a peek under the hood of the proprietary software that should never be used in our elections. And what the technical experts are saying is there are a lot of factors here that should make people doubt what's going on. In particular, when they talked about the BAT files and scripts that were unhardening the voting system, that in and of itself ought to be a cause to decertify not just the Mesa County systems, but every single one of them. The problem is that none of the election officials have the slightest idea what is going on inside those computers. They've accepted the vendor's assertions and the vendor's claims that these proprietary systems should not be examined. And the testing labs are, you're at best, incompetent and at worst, corrupt. So for the first time, people are getting a look under the hood of their voting system. And if they know anything at all about computer systems, they should be extraordinarily concerned about what they're seeing. Instead, the Secretary of State is trying to blame the clerk for wanting to look, but she had good reason, and that's her first duty. I mean, her duty is to her, you know, to her oath, not to the Secretary of State.
100%. And do I understand the story correctly? Because it was really interesting for me. I had some phone calls the morning of Tuesday when you guys appeared at the symposium. So I had a little bit of a heads up on some of the things that were going on. I'm stuck in my hotel room in Nashville getting ready for a deposition of my clients, the Gateway Pundit and James Hoft, in the Eric Coomer defamation case. And I flip on, I stream from my phone up onto the screen, the Lindell Symposium, and there are you and our friend Sharona Bishop and Tina Peters. And so is it true that Mike Lindell brought you guys out there on a jet?
He did, yeah. I was going to be there anyway because I was doing something else, but I didn't know that Tina and Sharona were coming out. I'll tell you, flying on a private jet will really ruin you for flying commercial.
Yeah.
Having to go through all the airport, Olympics is a different experience.
Were the masking requirements a little bit more relaxed on the private jet?
No, not yet. Yeah. Not only didn't you have to mask up, you pretty much brought whatever you want. So yeah. Part of the reason I flew out was because we were bringing some equipment out for that mock election. So yeah. I don't know if you saw that, but that was a good time.
I saw, I was so busy out there, I could catch snippets. So what happened? We've got 3 or 4 minutes at least. What happened with the mock election?
Well, so our objective was to just be able to show people how vulnerable the machines are. So we had Dell Optiflex 7440 all-in-one machine, which is the same one used in a lot of the United States in many Colorado counties, including El Paso, as the baseline machine for the what they call ImageCast Central, which is the scanning and tabulation machine. And then we have the exact same Canon scanner that they use in many Colorado counties. So these are the commercial off the shelf.
We lost you there for a minute.
We set up that with some custom software that was written by one of our volunteers in Colorado and also by one of the gentlemen that was there, Mark Cook, and Draza Smith, and Mark and I all set up the system. And then they demonstrated what it looks like on that voting system in terms of the data flow and how someone can monitor that if they have access to really any of the computers that are on the same network. And then we showed how a hacker can go into that SQL database and modify the tally. And also we showed, while they were watching that happen, how the ballots themselves can be corrupted. So they were never the people who went through the mock election with us. There were, I think, 12 or 13 groups, about 130, 140 people. None of them ever saw the ballots being modified, even though they were no more than 10 feet away and as close as 2 feet while we were doing it. So we would show them the hand tally of the votes they had cast, and that always matched what they had cast. So as long as you don't take your eyes off it and you do a hand tally, then you get a free and fair election. And that was part of the lesson there. And also part of the lesson was you can't trust the computers because you don't know what's happening in them. And that's also true no matter how complex you make the systems. And then also, if you take your eyes off the ballots for even a moment, if it's not under constant surveillance, you can't trust the ballots themselves. So everybody got that message loud and clear. In fact, we got requests from, I think, 4 other states so far to come and help them.
Love it. Website is useip.org, useip for U.S. Election Integrity Plan. .org if you want to get involved. The things like canvassing are still going on. I do expect forensic audits in at least parts of Georgia and Pennsylvania, and more and more and more. And so I commend the people who have the courage to continue to talk about this, get to the bottom of it. Sean, you and I will be the very first to say, when we get to the end of this long road, if we were wrong, that we are wrong. and the elections are fine. Let's keep going. But we already know so much about them to know that that's not true. And it's so crucial that people don't give up.
Absolutely, Randy. I can't thank you enough for spreading the word. And I want to say again, you know, elections belong to citizens. So we're starting to see finally some county commissioners stand up as they should. And they have the authority. They have the authority to decide not to use the black box voting systems. They have a lot of control. They just have to assert that authority. And if they don't understand or they don't want to, then those are elected representatives and citizens can tell them what they want them to do. And if they don't do what they want them to do, then they can remove them and replace them with someone who will, and they should.
100% agree. Hey, happy trails, my friend. It was such a treat. I had seen you the couple of nights before, just like three or four nights before at an event. And then to flip on my TV, getting ready for my deposition, and see you and Sharona and Tina up there on that stage was just fascinating. Things are happening so fast out there. The establishment, the corrupted secretaries of state are freaking out. That's why they're taking extraordinary action. And we will not relent. Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you so much. We'll be talking very, very soon.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Take care.
You too. Colonel Sean Smith, never a political activist, not a right winger, not somebody who's been involved in politics or anything else, just a U.S. Air Force colonel who was involved in security testing and understanding some of the most sophisticated and significant security systems our country deals with, who saw what was going on in the 2020 election and apparently knew right away, and then established to his own satisfaction by the time he was done that there are some things that are very, very wrong. So we're going to go ahead and get some calls in on the other side of this hour. I'm going to postpone Peg a little bit. Peg Cage will join us to talk about the Republican effort to opt out of the open primary. And we'll do that at about 10:20 so we can spend some time with you on the phone. Stay with us at 9:58, Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.